If you're looking for the perfect gift, you're covered with a gift that's sure to wow. Taste of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's legendary deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites too. Visit tasteofchicago.com to order today.
Greg Bolanos joins us now, the founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. Thanks for joining us, Craig. You're on WGN. How are you?
John, it's great to be with you, but now I'm nervous and anxious about all the corrugated cardboard that's getting delivered to my front door.
I think that what you need to do is have it delivered to your office, and then people are there rather than to a vacant home. That's one suggestion, but not everybody's office allows that.
No, you're right. It might just be the move. But you know what? As far as the economy and market goes, I got to tell you, solid growth, an ongoing rate cutting cycle, treasury yields that aren't a headwind to stocks, big talk on tariffs, but a belief by markets it's more of a tactic than an actual tariff. It's a good setup going into year-end 2024 and probably to kick off 2025.
Markets, though, are a little flat. We had not so promising. The economy's too hot still, right?
You know, markets might be a bit flat, but, you know, we have to look at the current state that we're in again, not the future state that we could be. I look at it and I say earlier this week, the NASDAQ pierced a big level. We're a little down from that, but we pierced 20,000 on the NASDAQ. That is a testament and a reminder to everybody about how transformative big tech, specifically artificial intelligence, has been back to back 2 years in a row. Yeah. So what do I say? It's okay to have a little bit of breathing room because you can't run with consistent gains week after week, week after week. Once in a while, you got to pause and reset, and we're doing a little bit of that this second week of December.
I wonder what the best measure of the economy is, or the whatever is. The Dow gets overreported. The NASDAQ is very specific. Maybe it's the S&P. Maybe it's the Russell. I mean, I wonder which of the indices would best inform me on how the economy is doing.
I think every indice tells its own story, and every indice adds to the narrative. I think what's been really exciting as of late is, yes, I don't think the Dow Jones and 30 companies is representative of an economy. Likewise, if we look at the S&P 500, that's cap-weighted, the largest companies account for too much of the index. But when you look at the S&P 600, small caps, the S&P 400, mid caps, the S&P 500, I just acknowledge it's been nice that ever since the election, we've seen a rally in small cap stock, a rally in mid cap stock. And I think that gives us all some clues to the fact that the soft landing remains intact. Dare I say, Goldilocks.
Inflation ticked up a little bit more than some folks thought it would. Donald Trump said, well, it's hard to get prices down. Oh, really? Said Joe Biden. But what would you say about inflation right now?
Making me laugh. Well, yes, you know, a 0.3% month over month increase 2 months in a row, no one's going to celebrate. And 2.7% year over year. Do I want it at 2% like the Fed says their target really is? Of course I do. But if you told me, John, I'm going to be in an environment going forward where the fall in inflation kind of arrests, it stops here, maybe 2.6, 2.7% year over year, I'm happy. Because wages should be outgrowing that pace. And if wages outgrow 2.7% year-over-year inflation, then the consumer remains viable, the spending in this country continues to occur, and the soft landing stays on the table.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Craig Bolanos is on the line, the founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. The new website for Craig is GetRetiredStayRetired.com. Well, I guess that's the object of the game, right, Craig?
That's the object of the game, and it takes strategies that are tested in the trenches to make that an enduring theme that happens in reality, especially when people are retiring for 20 to 30 plus years these days.
Do you find that sometimes people do outlive their savings, or at least live a lot less comfortably because they made some mistake along the way?
I don't think we see that in the clients that we serve at VestGen, but certainly in the marketplace, there are people who come into retirement unprepared. And sometimes retirement is thrust upon people not by their choice. That's reductions in force, that's needing to leave the workforce early to take care of an aging parent or a spouse who gets ill. So the retirement challenge is just daunting for a lot of people. And John, it happens more often than people would like to admit.
Do you have a ratio in mind between how much money you should have and maybe how many years you'll think you'll live versus long-term health care insurance? If you have $50 million in the bank, you don't need long-term care. You can afford it. If you're below a certain line, maybe you do. Do you ever advise people to get that?
Well, we talk with people all the time about making sure there's continuity of care, what you refer to as long-term care. And specifically, it's about protecting choice. Protecting choice matters, but the lens through which I view it for a lot of American families today, those who are married, they have a partner in their life, is you've got to protect from spousal impoverishment. That is the devil that is out there today. You don't want to have one person get sick and leave the healthy partner financially impoverished. So I think for a lot of people, they need to do a feasibility study of, are you going to self-insure this risk? Or are you going to partially insure the risk? Yeah. And I think partially insuring the risk is the way a lot of people go. But you need to make sure that you get solutions that are enduring, because you don't want to do something that's going to cause you to get premium hikes in the future.
Well, I guess it depends on the people and the circumstances. But if you had $10 million, you can self-insure. $9 million, $5 million, $6 million. Well, you know, I wonder where the, if you're going to retire with $100,000 in the bank, you are not self-insured. But maybe you can't afford that kind of long-term care insurance premiums either, right?
Yeah, there's no hard and fast rule of thumb. I mean, John, something that was very personal to me, everyone's got their own story. My mom had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. All disease is terrible, but that was crippling. It was expensive. 24-hour home health care, skilled nursing, the bill was astronomical. It's impossible to insure against things like that. But if it's the normal, the usual, a couple years of care, yeah, there's some rules of thumb that can be applied. And I just think people need to really vet this out as a part of their retirement plan, because long-term care does put people's retirement at risk. And it's not just you, it's the generation below as well.
I'll let you talk to your clients more about that. I want to talk to you just a little bit more about a couple of other stories in the news. So inflation, we said, was up a little bit, but you didn't seem too concerned or alarmed by that, right?
No, not concerned over the month-on-month or the year-over-year change. Wages are outstripping 2.7. I'll take it.
Did I see the consumer price index was not, no, the inline consumer price. Well, I guess that's, what's the difference? Is the inline consumer price index the same as the CPI?
Yeah, we get into discussions of CPI, PCE, core, all of these things. Yeah, the most recent data, again, had volatility in food. I think that's been the crux for all of us. But, John, I got good news. If someone said, hey, what do I think the 2025 full-year CPI is going to be? I think year-over-year we're going to be down at 2.6. That's actually less than where we currently sit at 2.7. That's a good pathway for people moving forward.
Are you thinking about the Fed and what's going to happen to interest rates?
Of course. I mean, we're counting on the Federal Reserve giving us this rate cut in December at the meeting. When I say we, that means Mr. Market, the groupthink that's out there. And I think what's on the table is 2 to 3 cuts coming in 2025. I think the upward bound for Fed funds is 3.75, 3.75. The prime rate gets down to 6.75. That means that's a full 1% below where we currently sit. So one cut in December, as many as 3 next year. That's what's needed in order to continue to support this soft landing, no landing scenario.
So what would the impact be then for me? Credit cards, home loans, car loans, whatever. Maybe return at the bank on a passbook savings account or a CD. If we get these reductions, how will I feel it?
Well, the first thing, you already acknowledged it. You know, you're going to end up having a lower rate on your CD, a lower rate on your high-yield money market. And I think people really need to take a look at cash, which has been a fantastic asset for 2 years. cash is going to underperform going forward. But in the same vein, I think we set ourselves up for a position that mortgage rates get better, that student loan debt, starting with the reset of the rate in July of 2025, will be better for fall of 2025, spring of 2026. So it's good and bad for consumers, depending on whether you're borrowing or trying to earn interest.
Well, I was just going to ask you that last question. I mean, would you make that trade? Maybe a full point lower eventually on mortgage rates, but we pay the price with our savings?
Yes, 100%. Because it's all about the economy. It's all about consumerism. And when we have an uptick in housing, we have more people moving. Think of all the expenses involved with moving. Think of all the nesting, all the landscaping, the window treatment, everything. Housing powers a big part of American spending. And if we can get a reduction in mortgage rates in 2025, that's going to continue to help the U.S. Economic Party.
Craig Bolanos is the founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. GetRetiredStayRetired.com is his website. Happy holidays, Craig. Thanks for your help.
Great to be with you, John.
Table tennis. There's regular tennis. There's now pickleball, of course, and squash. There's a new paddle sport. And I want to make sure I'm going to pronounce it correctly. Rich Green is here, the co-founder of SPF. PlaySPF.com is the website. And how do we pronounce that, Rich?
Hey, John, nice to speak with you. It's pronounced padel, even though some groups do call it paddle, but here in the Midwest with people playing platform tennis often call it paddle too. Proper way to pronounce it is padel.
P-A-D-E-L.
Okay. Yep.
So what's your connection to this sport, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I guess a background for about padel, it originated in Mexico, and it's really one of the world's fastest growing sports, similar to what happened here in the States with pickleball. Other countries during the pandemic and going through that experience really adopted the sport of padel, and it's seen tremendous growth in Latin American countries and Europe. As a company, we've always strived to try to bring new experiences to Chicago, and whether that's our pickleball facility, a primarily pickleball facility in Lincoln Park, with state-of-the-art technology, instant replay. We've been able to develop relationships, and there was a company based out of Sweden called Instant Padel, and they, in Scandinavia, kind of went through this padel boom, and the founder there created a padel court that could go up in a day. And he had reached out to me and saw his court in New York City, and I was like, hey, I got a winter pop-up that we're trying to do a lot of fun things for Chicago. What are you doing with it this winter? And they, we're fortunate that we had that relationship, and they gave us the court, and we are, we're excited. Team built it in a day, and we were able to give the first indoor padel court here in Chicago so that people can discover this new sport and have a lot of fun with it.
So this new pop-up location, SPF Winter Fieldhouse, that's at 2367 West Logan Boulevard in Chicago. And padel, as I understand it, is tennis meets squash. You're playing with a modified racket that looks or feels maybe more like a pickleball racket. That is, it doesn't have strings. It's got holes in it, and the ball has less bounce, and you're able to ricochet the ball off of walls. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, you can play the balls off the wall, similar to platform tennis, which is really popular here in the Midwest. The scoring is tennis style, so love scoring. And, it's a mixture of tennis and squash, and a really fun, fast-paced game.
Why would I play this instead of pickleball?
I come at it as a lover of all racket sports, and I think every sport kind of gravitates to certain players. I think from the wall element, if you love squash, if you love racquetball, I think you'll love it because it adds a different level of strategy to the game than a pickleball or tennis. I think if you're a lover of racket sports, you find joy in all of the games. And if you haven't played this one, so describe
the court for me then, because I know what a tennis court or a pickleball court looks like. They're very similar. Mm-hmm. One's a little smaller. But then where are the walls, if I'm ricocheting it? Does it have a ceiling? Or does it have walls all the way around?
It's open air. The lob is very important to the game, and that was really important. On the space side, we have 25 feet clearance above, and so the lob is very important. Generally, it's a game, much like its growth, is played outdoors. But with indoor and colder weather environments, the game has moved indoors. So the walls are behind you and on the side.
All the way around. All the way around. You're in a box.
You're in a box. Yep, you're in a box.
And then I can bounce the ball off of the wall, so you've got to sort of project the trajectory and see where to be. I could hit it straight onto the surface, or I could bounce it off the wall, right?
Correct. Every ball has to bounce on the surface before it ricochets off the back wall. Mm. One fantastic element of the game, if you Google a shot, if you're not familiar, you can probably spend a crazy amount of time on TikTok and Instagram watching fascinating points. You can actually run out of the box at the net level. So there is a door, and that is live, and that's playable, and it leads to these just amazing looking shots. More for the advanced high level player for sure. But yeah, that's actually one really fun element of the game.
Seems like that might be then an advantage to the defensive player. That is, if I can't get to the ball on the first bounce, maybe it'll bounce off the wall, and if I can figure out where it's going to go, I'll get to it that way.
For sure. Yeah, there's that element too. Like platform or squash. Yeah.
How's business? Are folks signing up? I guess maybe they show up at your facility. They want to play pickleball. You've got a big pickleball facility there, and then they just see this sport and give it a try. The first time I played pickleball, Rich, I was able to play pickleball. Would you say the same would be true for padel? If I've got a racket in my hand, we could have a rudimentary game first time, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a no. I'm hearing a no.
I think padel, you want to have some racket sport, but it can be played by anyone who's played pickleball for sure. But I do think generally it is for someone who has a little bit more advanced background in racket sports. I would say that's fair, but we do have a lot of pickleball players right in our facility, and they've seen it, and they're definitely like, how do I take lessons? And we're offering lessons, 3 times a week, exposing people to the game. I think generally, the game is appreciated at the higher level by players that have more of a tennis background, squash background.
That's helpful. The SPF, that's you guys, Winter Fieldhouse, is at 2367 Logan Boulevard, a pop-up location for this new sport, padel. It's open 7 days a week from 8 in the morning to 10 at night. Wow, and you're going to have it running through spring of next year, huh?
Yeah, we should. Yeah, we'll be open through May of this year. We have 4 pickleball courts. We have a padel court. We're doing volleyball and basketball with our friends at Player Sport and Social in Chicago, Sport and Social. Just doing a lot of fun things at the property. Toss and Spin is doing tennis lessons. And yeah, lots of fun under one roof.
Rich Green, co-founder SPF. That's playspf.com. Okay, Rich, good luck to you. Thanks for bringing this to Chicago.
Absolutely. Thanks, John.
You bet.
Appreciate
Take care. We will tell you about a website. It's an app, actually, hollow.com. We've talked about this before. There's a new wrinkle on that, and we'll get to that in a little bit. First, though, more business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A Chicago startup that's focused on solving the problem of loneliness has pulled in $11.5 million in a Series A funding round. The founder of tech platform Pi says the mission of the company is to make finding friends and organizing activities as easy as calling an Uber. It's a social app that helps people meet in real life. Chicago Inno reports Pi has more than 20,000 active monthly users in Chicago and has raised about $25 million to date. PI has 12 employees and plans to use the new funding to expand. The U.S. Surgeon General says Americans have lost 24 hours a month of in-person time over the last 20 years as social isolation worsens. Federal funding has been approved for a Wisconsin water technology-focused accelerator. The Great Lakes Innovation Accelerator in Madison is among four business accelerators selected by the U.S. Department of Commerce and National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to receive $54 million in total funding. The accelerator will work to attract startup founders focused on water technology innovation. The search will be centered around the Great Lakes, home to 21% of the world's fresh water. The accelerator plans to invest in 60 startups over the life of the four-year program. I'm Steve Brzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, time for the business of food now. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And on the calendar, a day late, sorry. Yesterday was National Poinsettia Day. And last week, our gardening guru, Jim Fizell, Mr. Fizz, told us the keys to keeping the Christmas plants looking great as long as possible were keeping them out of direct sunlight and drafts and keeping them moist but not soggy. He's got a lot more to say about the plants after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, Mr. Fizz, poinsettias. How did they come to be a Christmas plant?
This is a native plant of Mexico and Central America. The name comes from the ambassador to Mexico in the 1800s, someplace during that century. I think his name was Poinsett. And he brought these back to the United States because he really enjoyed the flowers. Now, the legend of this is that they flower on Christmas because there was a little girl in Mexico by the name of Pepita that needed to bring something to the Christ child, but she had nothing. So a friend of hers said, well, just take this nice green plant, and on her way over there, lo and behold, it bloomed, and by the time she got to the stable, it was in flower. So that's an interesting story. Now, in this country, they were considered just a plant for the tropical areas or the semi-tropical areas in our country, but there was a family by the name of Ecke. In fact, I knew Paul Ecke Jr. from Encinitas, California, whose family decided they could be grown as a pot plant, and he is the one, or his family is the one that's responsible for all of the poinsettias we have in this country at the holiday time. So we can thank Paul Ecke for that, Paul Ecke Jr. and his dad. So their name will forever be engraved in every poinsettia plant that you get, the name of the Ecke family.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizell on the food calendar, just in time for the cold weather, and maybe a few days late. It's National Cocoa Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Hallow.com is a Catholic prayer app that has teamed up with somebody you may know. Alessandro DeSanto joins us, the CFO there. Alessandro, thanks for being on WGN. Hi.
Hey there, so great to be back.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. How's business been for you guys? How many users, followers, clicks do you get?
Yeah, we've been super blessed. I think the last time we chatted was right at the beginning of Lent, right around we did a Super Bowl for the ad for the first time this year. You know, we continue to be growing. I think we just hit 22 million downloads. We're available in eight languages now and growing internationally as well as in the U.S., so we've just been super blessed.
Yeah, right. The last time we spoke, you had a celebrity endorser of sorts. Who was in that Super Bowl commercial?
Yes, we had a great combination of Mark Wahlberg, who's one of our kind of original partners in kind of the celebrity-type world. We also had Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus in an increasingly popular TV show called The Chosen, about the life of Jesus. We've been blessed to work with a few more celebrity types over the past year. We worked with Neil McDonough around some of the content we did around the election and finding peace amid the crazy election season. And then this Advent, this Christmas season, we're working with some awesome new folks, including Gwen Stefani, the singer, Bear Grylls, the adventure survivalist, Lauren Daigle, Christian music artist, and Kevin James, who people may recognize as Paul Blart Mallcop, amongst other things.
So Gwen Stefani. So for instance, Gwen Stefani, how does that work? Does she reach out to you? Do you reach out to her? Is it the traditional sort of endorsement package where she's paid to, say, go to this app? What's the business relationship like?
Yeah, so with all of our partners, we love to develop a relationship, and we try not have it be overly transactional. Obviously, we want to compensate people fairly for their time and effort, but it really has been beautiful over these past couple of years when we started working with people like Mark Wahlberg and others as we started to have a more, let's say, public-facing brand and people getting to know and love us. it's been cool to see kind of in and among people's personal networks, reaching out to those that we have worked with and saying, hey, that's a cool app. I'd love to give it a try. And in many cases, a lot of these relationships are actually getting started because they are talking about it with their celebrity friends. They give it a try, and they're often moved by the personal experience. Bear Grylls would be a great example of that as well, where actually uses the app, likes the app, and that's a great foundation for relationship and authentic invitation into prayer.
Mm-hmm. Is it complicated for you because, say, Gwen Stefani's had a great career. She's high profile. I understand she's a practicing Catholic, but she's also had music videos, say, that are more on the salacious side. Is that a difficult consideration for you, or is that beside the point?
Yeah, no, we obviously want to make sure that we're creating an experience, an invitation to prayer that's authentic and is something that really resonates with the person and ultimately can reach their audience in a way that helps them grow closer to God, not the opposite. I think we've all had our own evolutions in life, and so we're all on a journey, so we don't expect people to be saints in order to be able to help invite people into prayer. I think that the really exciting part is to, and we have a partnership philosophy where we go through and we're having these conversations around each individual unique circumstance. But really the idea is to reach, to work with people to reach their audiences with an invitation out of celebrity culture, out of consumerism, out of all the other things going on, you know, particularly this time of year when there's all kinds of stuff going on, presents to buy and stress end of year stuff, to really focus on the real meaning of the season. And I think for people that are willing to kind of do that and engage in an authentic way, that's an exciting message for us to help bring to their audiences.
So how do people use the app? A prayer pops up, they read it to themselves. Does somebody read the prayer to them?
Yeah, it's a great question. So it's a primarily audio-driven experience. So if you're familiar with something like Spotify or a podcast app, you'd go in, you'd pick what you want to pray about. We have over 30,000 different things. Could be daily scripture, daily virtue devotional type content, or thematic things. Right now we have our Pray 25 challenge going on, which is a linear kind of journey through this theme of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We kind of have this book that we're working through over the course of Advent called Severe Mercy, a beautiful love story and finding faith in the midst of a romantic relationship. So you go pick whatever you want to pick about or whatever you want to pray about. You have different time options, usually somewhere between 5, 10, 15 minutes. Press play, close your eyes, and unless, of course, you're driving or something like that.
Yeah.
And then be guided in an audio-guided experience. You can read along on screen, but it's primarily an audio experience.
Will a Gwen Stefani pray? Will I hear her praying, or is she just recommending people go to the site?
Yes, you'll a little bit of both. So we'll have some of her music, for example, some Christmas religious music she'll have, and she also shares a little bit about her own faith journey, and that's generally a common way we work with people like her.
Alessandro DeSanto is the CFO at Hallow, H-A-L-L-O-W, Hallow.com. It's the Catholic prayer app with tens of millions of people who, if not daily users, have certainly downloaded the app, right?
That's right. Yep.
Good to know. Continued success. It's amazing what is available out there and how people are able to interact with these various apps. Alessandro, happy holidays. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Merry Christmas. God bless.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.